Look,
I would enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fine. See Pretty Woman. That's not Pulp Fiction, though. Pulp Fiction is one of the great movies ever made. You know, I get your point, and it's nice of you to give her a little pass here. But no passes on the morning show today. We didn't give Chuck one. We're not giving Dev one. Like, watch Pulp Fiction. I get nice of you, though, Ken. What's up,
buddy? Well, I agree with that. But Pretty Woman is Pulp Fiction to some people. So just
true. To like the camera.
Yeah,
sort of. It is. It is entertaining. It's an entertaining movie. Like, if you're just not watching it now, Ken, because you haven't watched it in the past, I think you're missing out. You know,
I feel when I tell my wife that, you know, she's never watched The Dirty Dozen. You know, like, she's missing out. You know, it's just like, why would I watch?
Then she should try watching The Dirty Dozen. I can tell you from my experience, I still thought it stunk after being forced to watch The Dirty Dozen. Maybe your wife will have a better experience than I did.
That's blasphemy, John. That's blasphemy.
That's what I hear. I just don't. I don't think it's worth it.
What do you got on the Phils, Ken?
Before I get to the Phils, real quick, I just want to say I hate that entire answer that Jalen gave yesterday. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Because to me,
felt passive aggressive.
I'm still waiting to hear Jalen Hurts take accountability for anything. So I just hate it. I mean, I know he's a cerebral guy, but I just hate it.
Look, I think that is a fair interpretation of it. I think you can look at it and say he kind of shirked blame on that. I get that. That's a fair way to look at it.
So on the Phillies, two things. It might turn out that Wednesday's 10-0 debacle that left me nearly catatonic by the time I left might be the best 10-0 loss in the history of the franchise, because they can no longer pretend that there's something redeeming that they're seeing in Taijuan Walker that the rest of us aren't seeing. So in the long run, it was probably worth that display. Last night, look, listening to the post-game live, and Ruben was talking about he ran into Dave Dombrowski in the hallway.
I said, and he was like, you guys don't got it tonight. That was hilarious.
I don't have a chance.
Wait, who said that?
So in the post-game show, Ruben told a story where in, like, the fourth inning, he ran into Dombrowski, like, around the stadium and said to Dombrowski, you guys don't have a chance tonight, huh?
Like, no way.
Yeah, and then he looked like an idiot later, obviously, yeah.
Which
very funny story from Ruben.
Brandon Marsh may have very well hit the biggest home run of the season. You know, and he probably is one of the least likely guys.
I mean, unless Nick Castellanos hit it an inning later, you know?
Well, You want to talk about a guy that has quietly been locked in.
Yeah, Marsh has turned it around.
I'm talking about Casty. I mean, I've always been a Casty guy. It was hard to stay on the ship at the beginning of the season, right, because it just looked bad. But, you know, and I love when Nick Castellanos does something that makes him a post-game interview that you get to listen to, because it is the best post-game interview of any Major League Baseball player. He is such a thought-provoking guy, and the way his brain works, I would love to be able to study it for science.
So, Ken, later in the show, and we're not going to get to it yet, but later in the show, it's an off-the-beaten-path thing. I'm going to play some Nick Castellanos audio that, for this specific reason, I think you're going to love. It's a thought Castellanos has about the sport of baseball that I think he is so unbelievably dead on correct with. That's coming up later. Ken, you got an answer for a 90s character?
Tyler Durden.
Oh, great. Ooh. Answer.
Is that 90s?
Yeah. Oh, Fight Club's absolutely 90s, yeah. For sure. 100%. I want to say 99, maybe.
Yeah, later. Somewhere 90s.
It's late,
but 90s, it's
90s, but 100% 90s. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phones in a sec. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. We've talked a lot this morning. 1 week from today, we're going to be waking up. Well, we'll already be long awake, the three of us. But people will be waking up saying, oh, my God, it's a Friday in September and the Eagles are playing football tonight. And that game will be in Brazil. Yesterday, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were asked about. Let's start with A.J. We were already, you know, we've heard a lot of rumors and things about, as this kind of leads up to it, about, like, oh, you know, like, be a little careful in Sao Paulo. There's some crime, or, you know, this or that or whatever is going on. It seems like the NFL has told the players something similar. Here's what A.J. Brown said yesterday about the whole Brazil trip.
We had a meeting yesterday, and it was like a whole bunch of don't do's. And so I'm just trying to go down there, win a football game, and come back home. That's the best way I can put it. After hearing all this stuff, you know, I'm probably going to be in my room.
What were you told not to do?
A lot, honestly. Things that we would normally do here, even simple as just walking down the street with your phone in your hand and stuff like that, like, which is kind of crazy. So,
Devontae Smith also doesn't seem to be a huge fan of going to Brazil.
Devontae, what are your thoughts on playing in Brazil, going, you know, quite a distance to play your...
Say it again.
What are your thoughts on playing in Brazil, going this great distance to play a game?
No comment.
Really? Not excited? You're not?
It's football. Just line up.
He is the best of all time. I love it. But what do you guys make? Devin, the whole Brazil thing, you've been all over this from the beginning, tracking and all that. Like, it's one thing for fans to say, like, oh, you know, watch out for this. It's another thing where players are saying they don't want to walk down the street with their phone out. And they're going to stay there in the room the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird situation for something like this.
It's a weird situation. I think if I was the players, I get it. I probably wouldn't be super excited, especially now it's, you know, the possible dangers. I know that there's been debate over whether that's legitimate or not.
Fear-mongering, all kind of stuff.
But now there are, like, severe wildfires. There's all kinds of viruses going around, apparently. Like, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot going on. I don't love that they're taking away a home game
from Philadelphia. Well, of course. No Eagles fan likes that, particularly the Packers game.
I hope it doesn't affect the play. The good thing, I guess, if you can call it a good thing, is
both
that
teams
both
have
teams
to go
are
it.
Doing this. Like, it's not like the Packers are playing a home game here either. But what Devontae said, I mean, just line up. You know, once you get to the game, it's the game. It's you just hope that beforehand it doesn't affect them too much.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's just the weirdness of it. John, you've always
I think this is ridiculous that the guys have to worry upon worry.
Yeah.
There's added layers of concern. It's just wrong. The NFL is trying so hard to jam a square peg into a round hole with a lot of these things. Like, they don't care in some countries where they play soccer about our football the way that the NFL wants them to. But, you know, come hell or high water, they're going to keep trying to cram this down everyone's throat. It has gotten to the point with this one where it's too far. Like, if the players are afraid to leave their room, if that's legit, like, stop. Stop doing
this. Don't go to Brazil to play a football game.
Exactly. Yeah. You have pressed the limits too far when you are now playing in a place where the players themselves are fearful.
It's a great point, John. It really is. It's a great. They're going to play a football game in another country. They shouldn't have to worry about more than that. It's a
This is wrong.
It's a really good point.
Stop. Reverse out. Get, you know.
Is there a chance that they could pull a pivot, or are we too
last
close?
Minute? No, I think we're too close. Just, I think we're too close because too many people
and
bought tickets.
Unfortunately, we're the crash test.
Yeah,
we're dummy.
And that's a problem.
And I don't like the way that feels.
I don't either.
I don't like this, but I guess we deal with it, and we have to roll. We have to try to stay focused on the prize.
I'm glad it's week one, too, so they can play the game.
Oh,
I hate
that
it's week one.
Well,
I hate it, but I like that it's not.
See, I don't like starting.
The players have to think about.
See, I disagree. I think about, yes, but I think it's more the starting your season off on such a weird note, and then I'm going to jump into the other games. Like,
I agree.
I don't know if there's a perfect time to do it. I think heading into a bye week. Don't do it. Heading into a bye week is probably what I would have liked the most, but you know, it is what it is. Let's talk to John in Plymouth meeting. What up, Johnny?
Hey, how's it going? I want to talk Eagles.
Lay it on us.
I'm a little disturbed by Jalen's comment. Like, anybody that watched that Kelce documentary on Amazon Prime last season could have told you Kelce was going to retire after last season. So why didn't the coaches get him ready, John?
That's a really interesting question. Like, the forgetting the Kelce part or whatever, it's like, why weren't the coaches saying, hey, Jalen, this is you next year. Like, this is your thing. Like, even if Jason's going to be doing it, like, I don't like the way that was my biggest issue, John, when I first heard the response from Jalen was the whole, like, well, my learning was halted and that was it, and I guess I'll do it this year. It was like, well, why can't Jason do it, but you learn from that? Like, why can't you, like, isn't it still a learning process? I'm with you, John. That was a little strange, that part of it.
Yeah, I totally. And I kind of like how, like, he says my learning experience was halted. Like, the choice of words he used, like, halted. Like, I was like, what do you mean halted? Like,
yeah, like, he was told you can't learn this anymore.
Halted,
like,
was a
don't
choice
even,
of
yeah,
a word.
Right, it
halted
is. And he's very intentional, as we know, with his word choices. So, yeah, John, I think that's a fascinating point. You got an answer for a 90s character?
I do. So I won Monday with Vacation. So I don't want to win. I want to give an answer, but by no means do I want to win. But I just want to make it a little tougher for everybody else. Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, Joe Pesci.
That's a great answer. That is a really good answer. He is he's like, I don't want to win, but I want to make it the hardest possible non-winner. That is a great, great answer. We have a little sad news to report, actually. We had heard a potential rumor about it. We didn't want to put anything out there without any actual information, but the Columbus Blue Jackets have put out a statement, and it's on the passing of a local guy, sadly. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, everyone knew him as a local kid, made good, the Flames, then the Blue Jackets. Apparently last night, sadly, Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, Matthew, passed away in a car accident. Here's, I'm going to read you the statement from the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Blue Jackets are shocked and devastated by the unimaginable tragedy. Johnny was not only a great hockey player, but more significantly, a loving husband, father, son, brother, and friend. We extend our heartfelt sympathies to his wife, Meredith, his children, Noah and Johnny, his parents, their family, and their friends on the sudden loss of Johnny and Matthew. Johnny played the game with great joy, which was felt by everyone that saw him on the ice. He brought a genuine love for hockey with everything with him everywhere he played, from Boston College to the Calgary Flames to Team USA to the Blue Jackets. He thrilled fans in a way that only Johnny Hockey could. The impact he had on our organization and our sport was profound, but pales in comparison to the incredible impression he made on everyone who knew him. Johnny embraced our community when he arrived 2 years ago, and Columbus welcomed him with open arms. We will miss him terribly and do everything that we can to support him and his family and each other through this tragedy. At this time, we ask for prayers for the Gaudreau family and that their privacy be respected as they grieve. Obviously, Johnny, a local kid. I know my cousin played against him in hockey back in the day, knew Johnny. And
so sad.
It's they use the word unimaginable. That's it. Yeah. I mean, that's the word. You know,
so
you
shocking.
Read it, and for his family, for his parents, for his wife, for his children. It is just an incredibly, incredibly sad thing. It's rare, you know, that we don't see many. We Jerome Brown in the city. We don't see many athletes while they're still playing who pass away like at such a young age. You know, we had Halliday, but he was retired, but still a young age. It's just really, really sad. And you know, our thoughts and prayers, and I know that doesn't do much for them now, but go out to his family and anyone who knew Johnny, because I know Johnny was a real part of this of the local hockey scene and of Philadelphia, and it was a local kid made good, you know, amazing career and seemed like a wonderful person. You know, thoughts and prayers, our deepest sympathies go out to his family on a really, really sad day. All right, we'll come back, we'll regroup, we'll take your calls. It's the Morning Show. We're coming right back.
Sponsored by American Airlines out of Philadelphia International Airport. Authorities have confirmed that NHL star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew passed away last night and report the brothers were hit by a drunk driver while riding bikes in New Jersey. Gaudreau played 11 seasons in the NHL for the Calgary Flames and Columbus Blue Jackets. He was 31. And the Phillies beat the Braves 5-4 in their series opener last night thanks to a 3-run home run from Brandon Marsh and a 2-run homer from Castellanos to seal the win. This summer, American Airlines is flying nonstop from Philadelphia International Airport to Nice, Naples, and Copenhagen. Book today at AA.com. Weather today, cloudy with a high of 75. It's currently 67 degrees. To listen to 94 WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Breaking my back just to know you. That's right. Killers. The Killers. You have your chance to win Killers tickets today. Give us the best character from a 90s movie. Let's get to some phone calls. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a few minutes, you're going to hear what both Howie Roseman and Jalen Hurts said to us yesterday about the goal of the Super Bowl. They're like, Howie's, if this team's ready to win the Super Bowl, Jalen talking about what it means to him to win the Super Bowl. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Cherry Hill and talk to Steve. Hey, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody?
And what's up, Steve?
How you doing for a Friday?
Doing great for a Friday. Actually doing great for every day.
Yeah, I was a little skeptical of the Eagles, but I don't like to see anybody get hurt. But that's the best thing that could happen to us is Bradbury being out eight weeks. You know what I mean? From what I saw last year, that guy couldn't cover my grandmother. You know what I mean?
I liked James Bradbury a lot more than most. As a safety, I do think his skill set, he does fit what we're asking him to do as a safety. He can get out there and get guys in the right spots, and he can be in the right spot himself, and he won't be asked to man people up the same way he would as an outside cornerback against an elite 4-2 running 40 type wide receiver. James Bradbury, I like him as a coach-ish type player out there for all the young guys we have in
now,
the secondary.
Now, the sad part, we didn't get to the news yet. I know you just mentioned it, but he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, the injury for Bradbury, sustained and practiced Wednesday, I believe, that we found out yesterday. So that is too bad because he made the team, you know, get the safety spot and all that. And
the
then
problem for him is his contract is such that they're not going to keep him around past this year. You know,
he's gone after this year.
Unless he takes a major pay cut, he's not going to be an Eagle. And he was somewhat affordable. I think his cap number is like $4 million for this year. So that is extremely affordable, especially when he can give you that third safety that you're going to use just on in certain occasions.
He's hurt now, so it's like, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, that's going to set him back. I mean, he's going to miss
the
first.
Well, it's going to set the Eagles back, too.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
It will set us back. We are less flexible because of his absence.
We are. I wasn't counting on much from Bradbury. What do you got on the Phils, Steve?
I got the Phils. I think that was the biggest one of the year.
I do, too.
They're going to win the next at least two more games against them.
I love this. I love it. That is the thing. See, they could bury the Braves, you know, right now. What else on Bradbury?
No, John, my theory on that, you're talking safety. So if I'm the other team opposing freaking Bradbury, I'm running the ball every time he's out there. He can't tackle that dude.
Here's the thing, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see James Bradbury play this year. Like, he's out 6 to 8 weeks with an injury. Yeah. Like, then he's going to have to come back and get back to where he was with safety. Like, James Bradbury's a non-factor. It's nice that he's on the roster, and who knows, maybe at the end of the season, if he comes back and works himself there. Like, but I would not count on anything from James Bradbury this season after this injury.
Yeah,
Steve, you got an answer for us for a 90s movie character?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember this, John. You might. Do you remember the movie The Revenge?
With Kevin Costner, the Tony Scott movie. Yeah, it's a good movie, Revenge.
That was an awesome movie.
Yeah, I think it's just called Revenge, right? Not The Revenge. I think it's just Revenge.
Now, Revenge. You got to check it out.
Yeah, Steve,
sure
that's
Devin
a good. Yeah, that's a deep cut answer.
I have not seen it.
No, and it's not like you got to get to see Revenge. But Revenge is an underrated movie. I believe it's from 1990, if I'm not mistaken. Tony Scott directed. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I was not born yet, so.
No. No.
Yeah, have not seen that one.
Well,
I was only nine
on that one, so, you know, not too old. Let's talk to Sean in Philly. What up, Sean?
Oh, hey, how you doing? Sorry, no Wechter heads up.
For those listening, you usually won't get a heads up. Just so people know, the producers usually don't let you know when you're next. That's really, really, really rare.
I'm messing around.
Welcome aboard, Sean.
Yep, I just wanted to shower you all, drench you all with a little bit of love first.
Hey, Sean, you're coming up.
Jessica. Attaboy. Devin, ray of sunlight, classy, intelligent, fantastic addition to the show. No idea where you came from, too lazy to Google you, but, you know.
Thank you.
Moving on to viable, most interesting man in the world candidate, Richie. You know, loved him as a player, then Artie Lang, who I've always been a tremendous fan of, stopped listening to Stern when he left, but for him to dub Richie his partner was like, and now I get it after listening to the show. James Seltzer.
Jeez.
James Seltzer.
Yes, sir.
Let me just tell you something. You, my friend, probably usurped my wife, top three people in my life, okay? It's you, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and my daughter, and I'm not sure which one's first. Okay?
This honestly might be the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, and also probably too much. I appreciate it.
like Justin in Tennessee was on the afternoon show, and they were trying to get him to sort of bend the knee, and he said, look, I love you boys, but James Seltz is my guy, and that guy, this light bulb went off. It was like a rom-com. He's always been there, and I had no idea.
I'm blushing right now, Sean. That's what you've done.
Never
thank
had time
you.
To call with work and everything. So
we really appreciate it, man.
Yep.
Seriously, thank you.
Unrelated to sports, because I'm somebody who had to wake up at 3 a.m. for a couple of years, and you know, it was an absolute miserable time in my life. I was like Janice Soprano's boyfriend, the narcoleptic, falling asleep at the table at that.
Oh yeah, it's a good reference. Yeah.
So I just kind of want you guys, when I hang up, to sort of peel back the veil a little bit. Just, you know, let me know each of your schedules, how you manage this. Like, you know, watching Phillies games at night, Sunday night football, Monday night football. Like, is it a regular scheduled nap every day? Or I just want to hear.
Sean, I think that's a great question. We'll tell you next. We'll each go through our little routines, because we never do that. That is a good thought. Sean, before we let you go, though, and before we go through routines, you got a 90s movie character for us?
Yeah, well, obviously you stole the haymaker with Jules. But how about a little underappreciated Christopher Walken in Suicide Kings?
Dude, okay, so Sean, what an underrated movie Suicide Kings is. Why does no one ever talk about it? Like, Sean Patrick Flannery, it's a good movie, man.
I don't expect Devin to have seen it.
No, I honestly, I don't expect John either. Like, Suicide Kings is a deep cut.
I feel like I've seen it, but
it's where they kidnap. It's where they kidnap Christopher Walken. I won't say anything more than that, but
And I think
it is a good movie.
That is,
it's a good movie.
No,
it's a deep cut.
And I haven't even heard anyone talk about it since I saw it.
Hey, Sean, call more often, man. This is not, and not just because you complimented us. This is a great call. Call more often, man.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks, Sean. Let's go through it. You know, John, what's your daily routine for the last couple of years since we got here in the mornings?
I am watch every pitch, watch every play, and then pick up the pieces. That is my plan for consuming our sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I will watch it all because I do. I feel like that is an obligation. I feel
it's the job,
a privilege and an obligation to watch what we're going.
What
to
a good way
be talking.
I
about.
Love that phrasing, a privilege and an obligation. It is both things. Yeah. Like, it is our job to watch it, but it is a My wife always jokes with me. I'll be like, "Yeah, I gotta watch a game for work," and she'll be like, "Ooh, you gotta watch a game for work."
Isn't
like,
that funny though? That
ridiculous
people do
thing
that.
I ever said.
But like, no, literally, I do though.
No, but
I,
it's like, my job, and she knows, and she's messing with me. She loves. She's totally cool with it. But it is like she'll point out the absurdity of it. It is absurd to say I have to watch.
But we're
the
so
Phillies.
Lucky.
We're privileged. Exactly.
To watch the Phillies.
Devin, what's your routine?
My routine before work or just like
the morning
prepping?
Stuff. When we get up in the mornings, he's saying, how do you kind of go about the day-to-day? I know you're not always in every morning, but you're in enough
morning.
You've been in for like 10 straight as it is, whatever.
So whatever sporting event lately, of course, you know, Phillies. I watch every Phillies game, but it never feels like a chore to me. Well, actually, I should say the last, like what?
There were a few games
month
there.
Or so. Yeah. It started feeling like a chore.
10-0 felt like a chore.
Yeah, we're getting back.
Yeah, exactly.
When they're down by a lot and you just know it's going to be a loss, but it's like I should probably still stick around and see what happens in case anything, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it can feel like
well,
a
especially
chore,
when they were getting no hit through seven. It's like, I can't turn this
rough.
Off. Yeah.
A little rough. So I'll watch the game. Sometimes I take notes. I have like an ongoing Google Doc of notes on all the teams. But, I mean, for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. And then I wake up and I drink a ton of coffee and I come to work.
Yeah, a ton of coffee.
Is important.
What about the making up for so, if we're staying up and watching all the snaps and all
there
the pitches
is no making
and everything.
Up.
Oh, you know what I'll do sometimes? Even if I stay up, well, when I stay up for a game, I'll go back and listen to the post-game report, just like the wrap-up, just to like make sure I didn't miss anything.
So there, John, to your point, there is no, it's compounding and there is no catching up. Like it's one of those things where if you miss sleep for one night, you're going to feel it the rest of the week, like no matter what. Something that I never napped before in my life, like I would maybe fall asleep on a couch watching TV unintentionally. I never was like, nap time. I am king nap. Now, like I will nap no matter what. I will find 30 minutes, an hour, whatever I can. Naps have become such a crucial part of my life.
I'm
this
still
schedule.
So bad at napping.
Yeah, well, you have to because if you stay for these games, which we have to John's point, like I don't feel comfortable doing my job if I don't watch these sports. Like I can't
you
do
have,
it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll be completely honest. Like the West Coast stuff is tough. Like I do my best with the West Coast games in the morning, but like I dread them because
I know I'm going to feel like a worse person
so
that day. Like
so,
maybe even that week. I'm going to be shorter with my kids.
Oh, I totally. I feel bad. I'll apologize.
I'm going to be shorter with you guys. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
I feel the same way.
I know it's almost unavoidable. And I wish there were just more hours to, like, I wish that I could somehow, like, get a big cauldron and cast a spell to give me, like, 3 more hours in every day.
Totally.
That I could really use. I could really use those to maximum effectiveness. But no, as it stands, you got to try to squeeze those naps in, and it's never enough time. And I don't even know what the right amount is.
Well, it's not what we're getting. That's for sure. Yeah. There's never enough.
No, you should try and get in a rhythm with the naps. And
yeah, you're right.
Your body gets into a rhythm.
Joe Wagner's been doing this for 8,000 years.
Yes.
And yeah. The best way I heard it described, we have a sales guy, Nick Minnick. Shout out to Nick. Nick had a great way of describing it. He had a buddy who did a morning show, and he said his buddy always used to say, you never get used to the schedule. You just get used to being tired.
Yeah.
And that I was like, boom. I was like, that's it. That's the best way I can phrase it. You never get used to this. There is never a morning. I could sleep for 17 hours and wake up at 3 in the morning and be like, nope, this ain't right. This does not feel right. So you just get used to being tired, I think, is probably the best way to put it.
The worst part that I can't get used to is the dark. Like, I don't like the dark part as much. And I always had an issue with the seasonal affective thing.
Yeah,
like, in the winter, like, I would kind of dread the short days and everything. Mm-hmm. But
which
now,
is, again, like, you know, a verifiable thing. Like, it's a sad seasonal affect disorder. There's a lot of people who need that sunlight, who need the...
But, John,
Now that I know that I will never wake up with the sun, it really bothers me. Like, I look so forward to a Saturday because I might be able to actually sleep to where the sun might be outside.
When you
and
wake
that
up.
That feels normal. And so, like, that's the only thing. Like, really, like, Saturday is the one day it feels like, oh my gosh, I can breathe and try to be like a human. Because there are times where it's so dark, it just doesn't feel
John,
human.
I still think back to something you said, like, when we first started the show, so a while ago now, but I still think it's true. You described working this shift as lonely. You were like, yeah, is anyone else kind of lonely? Like, it just feels lonely. And it does when
you're just on a
the only one up at 4 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
It is.
And we consolidate together.
But we have each other.
And then we leave, and then we go back to this world where, like, if you go to the grocery store, it's there aren't many people there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kinda like, nice. What a weird time.
To be alive.
Right.
You're so right. What a time to be alive. 215-592-9499. We're coming up in a couple of minutes. But what a time to be alive. We're going to hear Jalen Hurts and Nick and Howie Roseman talk about the Super Bowl and what it means and the expectations. Go back to the phones and talk to Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey, James. I had a lot more
Ed
juice.
In Phoenixville. I didn't see Phoenix. There's no Phoenixville on my board. So I just said, Ed, this is Ed in Phoenixville, our great caller. How you doing, buddy?
I mean, just kind of rocked by the news about Johnny Hockey.
Yeah.
I just won't talk too much on this, but felt similarly when Jose Fernandez passed. Like, it just kind of takes the wind out of your sails.
So, Ed, I think that's such a good comparison, too. And obviously, this is a local thing where we know him and a lot of people knew him growing up and all that. But I'll never forget that more. It was actually on my birthday, Jose Fernandez passed. It was the morning of my birthday. I'll never forget waking up and Emily saying to me, do you know who Jose Fernandez is? And I was like, do I? Yeah, he's one of the best pitchers in the sport. And she's like, he died last night. And he was like 20-something years old. And it was so shocking and so sad. This is, you're right. It does have that similar shocking, terribly sad impact feeling to it.
And just watching the tribute of his where all the Mets players hopped the railing and just, it was.
Well, I still think the D. Gordon home run, one of the most, like, most amazing moments in baseball in my lifetime, literally in my lifetime.
Yeah, when I need a good cry or when I need to andropause myself through the moment, I'll watch that. And
so for those who don't know what we're talking about, Jose Fernandez, when he passed away, D. Gordon was his best friend on the team. They were super close. The next game the Marlins played, D. Gordon led it off with a home run, and it was like just the waterworks, you know?
Yeah. So switching to the Eagles, I won't comment on Chuck's call, but it did kind of get me to thinking, you know, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum when you had a player like Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday, who, you know, Manning would call everything and there'd be a lot of dummy calls in there, but that didn't mean that Jeff Saturday wasn't one of the smartest, toughest centers who knew where the protections were coming from. It was just kind of Peyton's comparative advantage. So, I mean, I think Hurts is very good at that, but it just so happens that Kelce is at a savant level, you know, in terms of calling that. So now it's Jalen's turn. We'll see how he does. So I think that, you know, teams do it differently, you know.
Sure.
But
and they can support one another, too.
Totally.
I mean, Jalen.
It's
Jalen
collaborative,
can,
right?
Yeah. Jalen can say, all right, Mike 5'7", and Cam can say, you know, hold on.
I'm seeing
check,
this.
Check,
yeah,
check.
Yeah,
rip, rip, rip. We're gonna make that 5'2", man. Check it out. And Jalen can be like, yep, you're right. Okay.
Also to that point, and to your point, Ed, like one of my favorite phrases when people talk about Tom Brady or they'll say it about Breeze or whatever is you can't blitz them, you can't trick them because they've seen everything. Like Jason Kelce has seen so much more in NFL reps than Jalen Hurts has. Like, it is not crazy to think that he would be much further along in that process of understanding what he's looking at.
He's just seen many, many more looks. He's seen every look known to man. He's seen every stunt, every blitz, everything you could possibly throw at him. He's aware of what you could try to do. Jalen doesn't have that experience yet, but watching film gives you more experience. You know, Cam, he doesn't have much experience yet with this at the NFL level. You know, he was a college center. I mean, he's been making these calls
his whole life.
Yes.
Yeah, playing football.
This is not new to anyone. They will be great at this, and we should not be worried.
Yeah, I think it's just another reason, like, I need this game won. Like, that's sort of like the next step in this whole process. And there's going to be blips or, you know, there may be some miscommunication between Cam and Jalen, but that'll come with time. So,
it'll be okay. I would have liked to see a little more like, hey, the first team get out there and run some plays and get some stuff from the press box all the way communicated to the sideline to the field. I would have felt a little bit better prior to the season to actually have a dress rehearsal doing that. They didn't choose to do that. I don't understand why. We have to live with it. And I think it'll be a little off kilter to start, a little more than we would like. But we're still a great team. And this offense is going to be unbelievable.
Eddie, you got a 90s character?
Has Tommy Boy been said yet?
Oh, no.
I love that.
Great answer. Also, mostly a non-comedy character so far, so that's a great comedy answer. Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet, thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle. Think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox. Together, let's drive. Our question today, are you more confident or concerned about the Eagles heading into the 2024 season? We will check the results of that coming up next hour. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going to hear from Howie Roseman and Jalen Hurts, what they had to say about the Super Bowl and the goal of that to John and I yesterday when we interviewed them. First, let's go back to the phones. He just got reference. I love when it's like a back call. He gets reference, and then the feller, Justin Tennessee, on the line. How you doing, pal?
What's happening, lady and fellas? I didn't hear the reference while I was trying to call in.
So apparently, and I love you for it, a listener said that the afternoon show was trying to claim you, and you were like, sorry, James is my guy.
James is most definitely my guy. Always has been, always will be. Brother, from another mother, you heard it.
That's right. We go back a long time, a lot longer than you just calling WIP. I think that's what people don't realize.
You dadgum right we do. Our brother, our birthdays are only like 2 days apart. And
that's true, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So coming up.
He's the 23rd and I'm the 25th, right?
Happy
23rd?
Early birthday.
Yeah. Yep,
23rd and 25th. So me and James are dug in like an Alabama tick. Ain't nobody.
I love it. All right, what's on your mind today, brother?
Real quick, this whole thing with Hurts and Kelce, man, it's just it's so aggravating that it came out the way it, like how he said it. I mean, did he mean it the way he said it? And it's almost like he's going to have to come back and say something else now. You know, well, I didn't really mean it this way. This is not what I meant. You know, yeah. If the less your quarterback has on his plate, like stuff like that, to me, it's better for him that he just has to worry about certain things. If he doesn't have to worry about, if you've got a six-time All-Pro center up there worrying about blitz protection, and you should trust that guy, am I right? I mean, he's...
100%, especially when he's not just a six-time All-Pro, Justin, but I think if any of us talked about, like, you know, the ability to pull and all, but, like, what's the thing that made Jason Kelce so special? It's that dude's brain, you know? Like, yeah. it's the biggest thing about him, you know?
I mean, it's like what's his name? A Beautiful Mind, you know? What's his name? James Nashville.
John Nash.
John Nash, that's it. But, I mean, that's something that he's done. Like Richie just said, he's done it for years, ever since college, and he's done it. You know, he had a great turn as a pro. Like, it turned around for him. And it's just like things really started clicking for him his last 6-7 years or whatever. And, I mean, he's the greatest center we've ever seen in this city by far. And like you said, possibly a top 5 center of all time. You've got to trust somebody like that. I mean, that's just my opinion. You know, some of these fans coming out like this, it's very frustrating and aggravating. And I don't like it, not one bit. And the feels last night, man, if that was a heck of a game. I had the feels going on one hand and college football going on the other, and I was getting mad.
Oh, this is your happy place right there.
Yeah, it is, man. I was hoping and praying North Dakota State would beat the crap out of Colorado, but no way. It came up about 5 yards short. But you can win World Series hitting home runs. You can. Like you said, it was done
absolutely
last year.
It's actually the formula now. I know people hate it, but it's the most consistent formula to win the World Series now.
Well, me and this guy I work with now, he was talking about, you know, the batting title. You know, used to, if you won the batting title in the NL, you had to hit 340, 350, something like that.
Oh, totally.
Trey Turner could win it hitting 306 this year.
He's second in the league. Like, I think Ozuna's at 307 or 306.
Arias
is at first.
Is right there at 306
Yeah, point being, though, I mean, Justin, to your point, like, the league average around baseball, if you go back 30 years, you take all the players, all the teams, the average around the league was 270. It's 240 now. It's dropped 30 points. It's dropping like a point a year on average. Like, that is drastic. We know what the difference between a 270 and a 240 hitter looks like. It's massive.
It's insane because, like I was saying, back in the day, you had Tony Gwynn hitting 350 every year. Larry Walker hitting 330, something like that. Todd Helton, those guys.
Yeah, and Andres Galarraga at 363 one year. John Olerud at 370. Like, yeah, exactly.
I mean, the strike shortened season, Gwynn was approaching –
yeah, he was batting 394. He was batting 394 when the strike happened. I mean, George Brett batted 390 in a season. You're so right, Justin. Yeah.
It's changed so much, the approach to state analytics and everything. And I know everybody's fans of analytics and all that. But anyway, that's just my take on that.
It's a great take.
As far as 90s characters, has anyone said Hannibal Lecter?
Yes, it was said. It is a great answer, but it was said.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with my second, and this is a comedic role. How about Dr. Evil?
Ooh. Oh,
was that 90s?
Yeah, 1999.
Really?
Austin Powers, the first Austin Powers, 1999, $1 million.
I love it.
Oh, it's very, very
I
funny.
I loved the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, they were great.
Those were a few that I did
thought the,
see.
I thought the second was actually the best one. I thought the second one was the funniest one, personally.
Which one was that?
The second one was the one with...
not the one with Beyonce, right?
No, that's...
Beyonce that one wasn't
three.
That
Beyonce one,
that's the worst
gold
one.
Member.
It's the first... the second one is the first one with Fat Bastard, not the second one with Fat Bastard.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the second one was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the first and second are great. I agree. Mm-hmm. The third...
Third's a little iffy.
215-592-949. We're back to the phones in a sec. Let's hear from Howie and Jalen. You know, obviously we heard from Jalen on the Pass Pro. I think... let's start with Jalen, and then we'll get to Howie. We asked both of the guys about the Super Bowl in different forms. Howie about expectations, Jalen about the goal. We all remember the lock screen thing to start last season. Devin, you remember how Jalen was upset it got out there that his lock screen on his phone was the loss of the Super Bowl and the confetti.
So you referenced that yesterday.
I did.
Right?
I mentioned it to him because I wanted to get into the idea of, like, Jalen, what does winning the Super Bowl mean to you? We know how football defines him. What does the goal of winning the Super Bowl mean to him? Here's what Jalen had to say. Can you talk a little bit about the goal of the Super Bowl and what ultimately, you know, winning that could mean for you someday?
Yeah. I mean, it's a goal. I think it's a goal that every team has going into the year. Every player has going into the year, I'd assume. In the end, you know, it's a process to those things. And I come from a a well-oiled machine in both places I've been able to be a part of in college. And, you know, you see some trends there. You see some trends there. And you, in both of those places, you just simply have to trust the process. Trust the process to get to you to take steps every day. And ultimately, with the work you put in, you know, those things will come.
I love the answer. I thought it was, you know, thoughtful. And Devin, as you pointed out, dropping
two
back to back.
Trust the processes, yeah. And that's in two previous. Now, I don't even want to call them interviews.
No,
but
when press conference,
like little,
totally.
Yeah, pressers or like mic'd up stuff. He says, trust the process.
I've noticed
he's
it too.
So intentional that this has to be on purpose. Like,
oh yeah, sure. If nothing else, he knows. Like, he probably wanted to say that the phrase like, yes, that or something. And he's like, I should go with this phrase because it's trust the process.
Yeah,
like, of course,
sure.
Do you guys feel like when you listen to Jalen Hurts answer questions, like when we interviewed him yesterday on the show, it's like I hear one thing when he answers it live, and then you kind of have to keep going back and re-listening because he's so like intentional
with his
words.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
So was he essentially saying, well, I came from, you know, two really great college programs, and that carries over to the NFL?
I think what he was saying is, I was in these two great programs, and I've seen things that work there, and I'm trying to bring those with
okay.
me. Was that the way you heard it too, Reggie, kind of? Like, I've seen trends in the – I've been a part of college championship programs. I've seen trends of what it takes to win.
It's almost like you have to translate it.
I think he was trying to say it is, I've seen what it takes away. I've seen trends, and also I know that there are steps to the
right.
process. I think it was all part
and
of
the
same.
And then trusting the process.
Yeah.
Two times.
We got back there to trust the process. I think a thoughtful, interesting answer. If you want to get excited and know that there's a person in the building who is going to get you fired up about wanting to win the Super Bowl, we asked Howie Roseman about the expectations for this team and the Super Bowl ultimately. Here's what Howie said. Do you believe this is a team that can go win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think we got to go prove that. You know, I think at the end of the day, though, what I will say is that there is no other goal. You know, once you taste that confetti, once you stand up there and you hold that trophy, there is no other mindset. There is nothing like, hey, let's win a playoff game and then go have cocktails on the beach and that's a great season. You know, I just feel like, for me, it's gotta be like the best feeling that you could ever have. And for our fans and for our team, certainly for me personally. And so, you know, I won't stop until we get back there. And then, you know, I hope at the end of it, going, let's go get another one, you know. So I think that is the ultimate goal. There, whether we get there or not, we got a long journey to go. We got to keep this team healthy. We got to come together as a football team, and we got to play really well. So that will be determined.
John, so many times we'll hear athletes or particularly front office people or whatever say something where it's like, oh, what were they talking about? Or, oh, that was dumb. Like, if we don't, we don't, or whatever. Like, it's very, very rare that there is a perfect answer to a question. I think John Middleton gave one when he talked about not care. Like, what did the 1927 Yankees cost? Like, I want to be known in the record books when they look at this team. Like, I think that was a perfect answer. And that's the perfect answer to the question. It's very rare in this business you are a perfect answer to a question. John, I thought Howie Roseman's answer about their mentality, about it's always about the Super Bowl, and I know he said stuff like that, but the way he put it, packaged it there, I thought that was literally the perfect answer to the question we asked. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think he actually practices what he preaches, and it's part of why we are consistently at the top of the NFL. You know, our organization is admired in league circles because of our owner and our GM and the way they conduct business. And it wasn't always that way. It was, they have worked to get to where they are. You know, this is Casty out there every single day swinging in the cage prior to the game. It's not the easy stuff that just automatically, yeah, you just put it right out there. Like, he's had some Casty last seasons, has Howie. And he's come out emerged victorious the other end. He's been through it, and we've let him know about it. And
what an arc for him! Think about that.
Man.
You know, like, you remember early in our show,
implicitly now.
Early in our show, we're like, oh my god, this guy. And then now it's like to the point where, yeah, I I would venture to say I trust him as much as any executive I've ever trusted.
Because
in this
we
city.
Should.
Yeah.
Because he deserves that.
And he's earned it.
Yes, he has certainly earned it.
And think about, John, think about Howie Roseman in terms of if he can pull this off, if he can win another Super Bowl. Like, obviously, Jeffrey's the other team, but outside of Jeffrey, like, Howie will really be, I mean, other than players, like Lane, sure, Lane Johnson is here, and he's a super important right tackle. He's the best in football now. But in terms of, like, to architect two Super Bowl champion teams, to build them from scratch and be the main guy who puts it all together, and we know how involved he is with everything, like, to have two on your resume, I mean, we're talking about, like, one of the most important people in the history of Philadelphia sports. If he already is, you know, super important. Like, if he could pull that off, he can win a second Super Bowl and have that on his resume. I mean, that's one of, it's pretty high level stuff for a city that doesn't win many championships, John. You know?
Well, it's, yeah, it, he doesn't have to go win a second
he
Super
already,
Bowl.
Yes, he already, has, I know. I'm talking about top of the list. I'm talking about he probably leaps over everyone else. If he's got a second like that, he's probably the most accomplished, certainly the most accomplished executive in the history of the city. But, like, he may be the most important sports figure. Like, it's that big a deal and what this guy is sitting on. To your point, John, he deserves a lot of credit. All right, 215.
And it's been outside the box a lot of
totally.
It. And it's been against the grain.
John, that's a great point.
And, wow. It,
marketing. Inefficiencies, always looking for what's next. Where can
yes.
I, remember the 2017 thing when he started signing 1-year deals? No one was doing that. It was like, wait, what's this? What's like, all that kind of stuff.
And you can see that he's influenced by some. Like, I do think he's been influenced profoundly by what the New England Patriots have done, by 100%. What their front office has done.
Oh, smart organization to try and model things.
Yeah, but we are so smart. We are.
I think we're the smartest.
Brained
I think
than
smartest
all the
team.
Other teams going now. There, and it just so happens that the good teams now are the smart teams. And,
totally.
And
the Ravens,
you,
the Niners, the this, the that.
We are at the front end of that, but that it feels good. It feels good to be where we are, and how we're in good hands. It's just going to keep. And he delegates, but he's delegating to people who he believes in. And I trust his hiring process every step of the way. Everything about what Howie has done should elicit only faith. And that's why I have it.
215-592-9494. We've heard from Howie and Jalen, who joined us yesterday. We were also joined by Saquon Barkley. A really heartfelt answer from Saquon about what it means to him to be an Eagle. You're going to hear that next. Plus your calls on the Phillies, the Eagles, and more. It's the Morning Show. We're coming right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.